Agrippas was a tzaddik?
Agrippas, that's very question. That's why I put a question mark.
Ah.
I'm hoping to get to it. All these is only my why I assume. Who's tzaddikim and not? This sheer tzaddikim, in other words, I can give you facts from Nachan Midrashim. Who's a tzaddik and who's not? According to the Rashi we discussed, the only person who never did anything wrong was Yoisam of the kings. According to Rashi in Divrei Hayomim that we mentioned the other week, can we first start that we're going to start recording? So I'm going to mute. Is Agrippas a tzaddik? Agrippas is definitely did a lot of good things. Agrippas is in base orders. The question is even if he's allowed to be a king. That's why I have question marks on all those people. But I am going to go through in this year, if time permitting. So far, we've discussed David HaMelech. We've discussed Yoisam, who, according to Reb Shimon Yochai, is the only king who never did anything wrong. And together with Reb Shimon Yoisam, is Yochai lifted as Kailan Lamin Adin. We discussed Uziyahu, who had one very bad day when he decided to become a Kayan and make Ketayas, which was a big mistake. But otherwise, before and after, he was ruled for 52 years and was quite good. Now, the rest of the time, he definitely had one very bad day, which he was punished for his whole life. Now, the others, I'm going to start going through the rest of the list. I want to start with Shlomo HaMelech, which that's another one that's negotiable, because in Tanakh it says, Vayasar Abayni Hashem. Yet, Shlomo HaMelech is mentioned as a tzaddik. Now, we know that of the Chof Dalet, the 24 Sifrei Tanakh, Shlomo HaMelech wrote three of the 24 books of Tanakh, Shir HaShirim, Mishlei, and Kehelas, which obviously we wouldn't have an author of Tanakh. Shlomo is also counted in Zohar amongst the Yushpizin who comes to visit. There's three versions in Zohar, but according to one of the versions, Shlomo HaMelech is one of the Yushpizin, which is an indication of him being a tzaddik. It also mentions in Halacha, in Rambam and elsewhere, that Mashiach has to be Mizera David Ushloime. Mashiach not only is a descendant of David HaMelech, but must be a descendant of Shloime. If Mashiach must be a descendant of Shloime, there must have been something very special about Shloime, despite his failings. Now, I'm going to start still on Shloime to see why I put him down with the list of tzaddikim. Again, all these things could be debated. There's no right and wrong. Only Hashem can judge who is actually a tzaddik. And as I mentioned the other day, at some level it says, "Va'amech kulam tzaddikim." Every Jew is a tzaddik. Even the worst Rasha is nefesh alikis, is chavuk odvuk abach, connected to Hashem. But anyway, in Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Chav Tes Pasuk Chav Gimel, we have a pasuk, "Va'yeshiv Shloime al kisei Hashem lemelech tachas David Aviv." Shloime sat on the throne of Hashem instead of after David. By Yatzlach, he was successful. By Yishmuel of Kol Yisrael, all the Jewish people listened to him. We have over here all the Sodom and the Gibeidim and all the Bnei HaMelech David all supported him. And by Yigdal Hashem as Shloime Lamaila, Hashem made Shloime very great, Leinei Kol Yisrael. And he had Hoid Malchus Shloime, who was given a level of kingdom, Asher Lehoya, Al Kol Melech Lefanav Al Yisrael. As a king, as the power that Shlomo had a greater power than any king before, probably after as well. Now, we still want to see what Shlomo as a tzaddik or not. There's a medrash in Yalkut Shemayni, Tuf, Huf Chav Tes, Yalkut Shemayni, beginning of Mishlei. He brings the first pasuk of Mishlei. Mishlei, it says, Mem Gidoyla. The Mem of Mishlei Shlomo ben David, the Mem is a big Mem. Why is the Mem a big Mem? Milame shehis anu Mem yoim. Shlomo HaMelech fasted for 40 days. Shetinosen loy chochmas ha-Torah k'moshe. He wanted to have the same level of wisdom, of understanding of Torah as Moshe Rabbeinu. Diksiv by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Vayehi shomim Hashem arboim yoim varboim laila. Moshe Rabbeinu was with Hashem on Har Sinai without eating and drinking 40 days and 40 nights. So it's mentioned in Yalkut Shemayni that Shlomo fasted 40 days to have that level of, again, is this with nights, without nights? I can't answer. Generally, there's a halacha that if a person says he's going to fast 7 days, it's impossible. Moshe Rabbeinu is only an exception. I think by Eliyahu HaNavi, it also mentions that by Har Sinai, he went 40 days without food. But I don't know if Shlomi's fasting is only day or night as well. The only day that's possible for anyone. We have a Gemara in Shabbos, Nun Vav Amid Beis, where generally the Gemara in Shabbos goes through a whole lot of people who in Tanakh it mentions about them Avedis and says about these people that their Avedis are not to be taken literally. And on Shabbos, Nun Vav Amid Beis, it says about Shlomi HaMelech, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Rabbi Yonason, Kol Ha'omer Shlomi Chata Einai Ela Toya. If anybody says Shlomi sinned, he's making a mistake. As it says, Shenemar, it says, V'lehoye levavi shalim im Hashem kilevav David David. Shlomi was not as completely dedicated to Hashem. His heart was not as completely dedicated to Hashem like the heart of David. So this implies, kilevav David David hu delehava. He wasn't as great as his father David. David was more sincere in his dedication to Hashem. But if he's a sinner, then it's not just that he's not sincere, he's a sinner. Obviously, it's not to be taken literally. He didn't sin at all. What do you mean he didn't sin? What do I do with the pasuk? There's a pasuk in Melachim by Yehilei Ziknas Shlomi in his old age. His wife turned his heart, which implies that he did sin. So the answer is, that pasuk should be interpreted as Rabbi Nosson does. The Rabbi Nosson Rami, Rabbi Nosson asks a contradiction in two psukim. One pasuk says, Vayehi le ziknas Shlomi, noshav hitu es levavi. One pasuk says that Shlomi's wives turned his heart away, which sounded that Shlomi departed from Hashem. Maksim, there's another pasuk, kilavav David aviv. He didn't have the same dedication as David, which implies kilavav David aviv, who then Lehava, he wasn't as dedicated as David, but Michti Nami Lechata, he didn't sin either. So what's going on? Shlomi did sin or didn't sin? So the Gemara in Shabbos answers, Shabbos Nun Vav Amid Beis, Hachi Kamar. This is what we mean, this is the way it should be explained. By Yehile Zikna Shlomi, when Shlomi got old, no Shavhita was Levavai Lolechas Achalit Elekim Achaitim. Some of Shlomi's wives tried to get him to do Avodah Zarah. They tried to get him to serve idols. But he didn't go. He didn't do it. So the question is, but you have a pasuk in Melachim that says, Oz yivne which implies that Shlomi actually built the Mizbeach for some Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara answers, Shabikesh livnes v'loy bona. The meaning of that is that Shlomi's wives put a lot of pressure on him. And at a certain point in his life, he was considering to do it. And then he decided, oh no, under no circumstance will he do it. But the fact that it even entered his mind that he should do such a thing is considered at Shlomi's level a serious aveda. But still, Hashem doesn't give a punishment just because a person has a negative machshava and regrets it right away. So the Gemara asks, but still, how can you say Shlomi's a tzaddik? Vaksiv. And here it's not that he wanted, but he did bad in the eyes of Hashem. Ella, what is the meaning of this? Shlomi had the ability and the responsibility to stop, to protest, and to stop his wives from doing avodah zarah. Shlomi HaMelech married all these wives more than he should have because he thought he was helping the Jewish people by doing so. And he could have and should have stopped his wives from serving idols. His wives, who were all converts, not sincere converts, did serve idols, and he didn't stop them. The Torah considers it as if he sinned. In the end of the day, whether Shlomi is or isn't the tzaddik, and we're saying he is, it does say in Tanakh, Vayas hara b'einei Hashem, he did bad in the eyes of Hashem. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Shlomi is very upset about the fact that here he dedicates his life to serve Hashem. And what does the Tanakh record? Vayas hara b'inei Hashem. Noyach loy le'osei tzadik, sheyehi shamish l'dover acher. He would rather have been a servant for a Dover Acher. I'm not sure if a Dover Acher is an Avodah Zarah or a Chazer, but it's quite a low, whatever it is, it's a low profession. Shlomo would rather not have been a king and have the lowest of lowest professions. While you cost save by rather than the fact that it's written in Tanakh, it's recorded. Vayas hara b'ine Hashem, he did bad in the eyes of Hashem. So according to the way we're learning now, Shlomo's failings were that he had too. What were Shlomo's failings? To put in perspective, that he had too many wives, too much money, too many horses. He didn't stop his wives from doing avodah zarah, and at some point his wives tried to convince him to do bad, and it entered his mind. Now there's another major issue, and that is, if you read Tanakh, it sounds like Shlomo married goyim. However, the Rambam says, Tzenisuri Biya Perek Yud Gimel Elacha Yud Dalet, that you have to know that under no circumstance, you should never learn the pshat. Yes, Shlomo had many wives. Yes, he had wives from different countries. Yes, his wife served Avodah Zarah. But Chas V'Shalom to say that Shlomo married a non-Jewish woman. Even though reading Tanakh at face value, it seems he did. And the Rambam, it's Hilchos Isuri Biya Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Yud Dalet, Al Yale Al Daitifa. The Rambam says it should not enter your mind that Shimshon HaMashiach Yisrael, Shimshon who saved the Jewish people, or Shlomo Melech Yisrael, Shenikro Yedid Hashem, Shlomo is called the close friend of Hashem. Don't enter your mind that Noshim Nosu, Nosu Noshim Nochriyesh Bigiyusan. It should not enter your mind that they married non-Jewish women as goyim. Chas v'shalom. Ella, so what is it? What is the story? Because it says that in Tanakh. Sayyid Adover Kahu, the secret meaning of this is as follows. Sha'amitzvah nechanechayna, what is the correct approach to the laws of Giyur? Kishayavay hager oy hagiyaynis lehizgayr. There's a man or a woman convert who come to convert. So the first thing the Beis Din has to see is, what motives do they have? Beit Kinacharov, we have to check on them. Shema Biglal, Momin Shayito, maybe he wants to convert for financial advantage. Oyvishvil Srona Shayiskaba, he's going to get some senior position. Oyvit Nehapachad, Bali Kanis Ladas, maybe he wants to join Judaism because he's afraid and it suits him for whatever side motive. Or Vyamishu, if it's a man, Beit Kinacharov Shema Einov Nosan, Bisha Yehudis, maybe he's interested in a Jewish woman. And if it's a woman, maybe she's interested in a Jewish man. If we don't find any of these reasons, the Rambam goes on to say, and again, this is Hilchos Isurei Biya Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Yud Dalet, that we tell them how difficult it is to keep Torah, how much trouble it is, and the goal is that they should yifreshu. Maybe they'll back out. But if they still say, no, we're ready to become Jewish, we're accepting all the mitzvahs, and they don't back out, and we see that they're accepting Yiddishkeit, they're accepting the Torah and mitzvahs, me'ahavo, then we accept them, as it says by Naomi with Ruth, v'teira ki misametzes himolechas, when Naomi sees that Ruth is very strong ongoing, v'techta l'daber ima, and she stopped speaking to her to discourage her. First, Naomi was trying to discourage Ruth from Giyur, but when she saw that Ruth was sincere, she stopped discouraging. Now, here is a very big problem with Giyur, and that is when it's suitable to be Jewish, when there are benefits of being Jewish. Let's say today, there is a number of people coming out of Russia, Ukraine, etc., who are claiming to be Jewish or going through so-called conversions, and they're doing it because it's safer to be in Israel than to be in Russia or Ukraine, maybe, and it suits them. And therefore, a conversion for this reason is very suspect. And therefore, when it suits a person to become Jewish, then you don't know what their motive is. And he goes on in Halacha Tesvav, that's why the official policy of the Beis Din was, Lekibulu Beis Din Gedim Kol Yemei David Ushlomi. In the days of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, Giyur was not accepted. Why not? Because we don't believe anybody's sincere. Be made David in the days of David, Giyur was not accepted. Shema min apachat chazru. Maybe they were afraid. David was a warrior. He fought many nations. It was better to be Jewish, safer. And in the days of Shlomo, maybe because Jewish people, that Malchus, the royalty, va'tova va'gedula, the finances in Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people were financially in the days of Shlomo doing better than any other country. They were gedula, they were greater, they were more popular. And maybe that's why he wants to be Jewish. And therefore, we don't believe the sincerity of any potential ger in the days of David and Shlomo. And he goes on to say that anybody who backs out from Akum, from idol worship, because of some foolish thing, he's not a ger tzedek, he's not sincere. He's doing it for other motives. So the general policy of the Beis Din was no gerim. The problem is that was the official policy. But what if you have a couple of people, maybe even Talmidei Chachamim, who go on the side and go against the official Beis Din? Even in Melbourne, there's been a backdoor Beis Din who's done something without the official, who's done giur without the official Beis Din. It's a very big, and the same thing in Eretz Yisrael, in America, and it's very questionable. What is the status of people who are megayer, who convert through these backdoor batei dinim? And the reality is, even though the official Beis Din policy was no giur in the days of David and Shlomo, the af al pi kein, many people did convert b'fnei hadyotis through this backdoor Beis Din. And the question is, what is the status of these people? Because in the end, there were three rabbonim, Talmidei Chachamim, who basically kept halacha, and against the official Beis Din policy, they made a gir. So he says the Beis Din HaGadol were, which Shlomo himself did this with his wives. He got a backdoor Beis Din to be megayer of these women. So the Beis Din HaGadol were choshesh. They didn't push them off. They didn't reject them to say they're not Jewish because they did tovel in a mikveh. But at the same time, v'leim ekarbonos, and we don't want to encourage them because we don't really accept them as Jews, but nor do we look at them as goyim. So it's a big problem. What is the status of Shlomo's wives who were insincere converts? And he goes on in Halacha Tezayin, because Shlomo was arranged gear for women and married them, Shimshon arranged gear and married them, and we know their motives were not good, and it was not through the Beis Din. So therefore, Chashovon HaKosov Kilohein Akum, the Torah counts them, the Tanakh writes that Shlomo married goyim. It writes that Shimshon married goyim. But every one of these goyim went through a giur kalocha with a backdoor Beis Din. But the official Beis Din considers them as goyim. Ubi suranoim them. And they consider as if it's still prohibited to marry them. Because even in the beginning, we question their sincerity. Then when we see what they actually did, we actually see that Shlomo's wives, not all of them, because some of them, such as Namo Aminus, was a tzaddikus, but most of Shlomo's wives were big problems. Especially the worst of them all was Bisya Bas Paroi, who it says that he loved her the most, and she caused him to sin more than all the others. She caused sin more than all the others put together. So number one, from the very beginning, we didn't have much appreciation for Shlomo's wives. V'oid, and furthermore, they say hindsight is 20/20. In the end proved what their motive was. You see, in the end of the day, most of Shlomo's wives, after they convert and go through gear, went to serve idols. They continue to do idol worship. And they built mizbeach for them. And it's considered as if Shlomo built them, as it says, Oz Yivne Shlomo Bama, which we said, Shlomo didn't chas v'shalom do this. Now, the question still is, what is the status of these Gedim? These Gedim who converted through the back door Batei Dinim, and through such as Shlomo's wives, Shimshin's wives, and the Rambam goes on to tell us in Halacha Yud Zayin, a ger that we didn't check him, or we didn't tell him the mitzvahs, we didn't tell him the punishment, we didn't do enough to frighten him off, and he went and had a bris, and he immersed b'fnei shloisha hadyotis. They made a backdoor Beis Din, three hadyotis, three frum people who have some basic knowledge of halacha, but they didn't go through all the rules of gear. So b'di'eved, the Rambam says, hareiz ager. If a Beis Din did a gear, there's a Beis Din of three knowledgeable people, frum people who made a gear against the rules of the Beis Din HaGadol, b'di'eved, it is a ger. Afilu noida shebishvil davar hu misgayer. Even if we know that he had a side motive, we know this person was not sincere. But in the end of the day, he went through a gear with a bezdin of hedyotis, such as Shlomo's wives. Since he had a bris and he tovel, yotza miklal ha'akum. We cannot consider him a goy, but nor can we consider him a full Jew. V'choshishin loy, we consider him as a maybe Jewish. We don't recommend marrying these people, but we consider them maybe Jewish, ad sheyisboyer tzidkosi, until we know their righteousness. Now, what if one of these people who went through a backdoor bezin, and then we know they went to do idol worship? And I know of such people today, that they did a gear through whatever kind of bezin, and then they are in church today. What is the status of these people? Says the Rambam, b'afilu chazar v'avad avodah zarah, even if they go back and serve avodah zarah, we still cannot say with certainty that they're not Jewish. They're like a Yisroel mumer. They're like a Jew who's gone away from Judaism and serves avodah zarah. And we consider them more as Jewish. And b'di'evan, if they do kiddushin, again, should you marry them? Probably not. But if they do get married, shekiddush of kiddushin. If they get married, it's kiddushin. And it's a mitzvah, hashavas haveda, which has to be done to a Jew. These people, even though they don't keep mitzvahs and they serve haveda zara, it's a mitzvah to do hashavas haveda. Because miyachar shetovo, since he toivled, nasaki Yisrael. And now we have a big question. Shlomo HaMelech, he meant well. But now that he married these women and they are serving idols, should he divorce them or should he remain married to them? And here the Rambam says, Ulaficha, Kimu Shimshon u'Shlomo nishisayim. Shimshon and Shlomo kept their wives because Shlomo could have, we can tell him, look, Shlomo, you made a mistake. You blew it. Now get rid of all these wives. No, once they married them, they kept them. Afal Pisha Nigla Saidon, even though their secret was revealed, which here we see an amazing thing. If somebody has a spouse, a husband or a wife, who is not keeping halacha, is that a reason to get divorced? And we see from the Rambam that Shlomo's wives, they said, no, you should never marry these women. You're wrong for making the gear. You're wrong for marrying them. But once you did marry them, should you get divorced because your husband or your wife doesn't keep halacha? And the answer, and there's also letters from the Rebbe on this, where the Rebbe generally advised people not to get divorced over that. And how it works out, I'm not going to give you details. Complicated question. Now, so far we have as a tzaddik Shlomo. Now, the next group I would like to deal with is Asa and Yehoshaphat. On our list of tzaddikim, if we go back for a minute, the list of tzaddikim, this list of tzaddikim, only Hashem can say who is a tzaddik. There are only possibilities. And the list we mentioned, we dealt with David Shlomo. Now I want to get to Asa Yehoshaphat. We dealt with Uzziah and Yosam. So now I'm going to deal with Asa Yehoshaphat, and then we're going to deal with Chizkiyahu, and then we'll get to the others. Concerning Asa Yehoshaphat, there's an amazing Medrash Eicha, which we've done previously at this year. There is a pasuk in Eicha. It says, Lo'heminu malchei eretz kol yoshvei seiro, none of the kings of earth, none of the inhabitants on earth believed that the enemy will ever come to Yerushalayim, because so many amazing miracles have happened to the Jewish people that they believed. And actually this Medrash says that for many years there was a baskel, a heavenly voice, encouraging Nebuchadnezzar to come attack Yerushalayim, and he was afraid. He said, look what happened with those who fought David. Look what happened to those who fought Asa, Yehoshaphat, Hizkiyahu. And he goes on to say, Arba melachim hayu. There were four kings. What this one demanded of Hashem, this one didn't demand. Four kings gave demands which sounded totally unreasonable. And Hashem said, yes, David, I'll do what you want. Yes, Asa, I will fulfill your request. Yes, Yehoshaphat, we'll do what you request. And yes, to Chizkiyahu. So we have these four tzaddikim, David, Asa, Yehoshaphat, and Chizkiyahu, that Hashem fulfilled their totally unreasonable requests, which shows us that they are tzaddikim. And going through these four tzaddikim and what they requested. which made everybody think that there's no chance to ever win against the Jewish people. But in the end, when Hashem wanted the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim destroyed, we all know that Nebuchadnezzar, many miracles happened in the negative way for the Jew against the Jews. The Medrash Eicha continues, David Omar Erdefa Oivai Vasihi. David says, I will chase my enemy and I will catch them. David wants to pasuk in Tehillim. David is having a war. He wants to catch every last enemy. Normally in a war, you chase enemies. Some get away. David says, Erdefa Oivai Vasihi, Tzintilim Yudches, Tzintshmol Beit. I want to capture every single enemy. I'll do this for you. I'll arrange for you to catch every last enemy. Hadod, this is the pasuk that says, "Vayakim David," and David struck his enemies. Mehaneshef ado erev lemachrosam, from evening till the next evening. What does it mean lemachrosam? And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says it took shtei leilos v'yom echad, two nights and one day, and in the end, he ends up catching every single one of his enemies. Now, amazing. If it's hard to catch enemies by day, by night it's even harder. But Hashem gave David special lighting. Hashem gave him special lighting in the night, flashlights, and the flashlights were, first of all, there were Zikin. Zikin are shooting stars. Hashem would have a shooting star shining right at this enemy. David's army would see them and they would kill them. Uvrakim, Hashem would make lightning. Again, flash right at where he is, and then David would find every last one. Not one of these enemies got away. For the word Zikin Uvrakim Kemadet Taninan, like there's a mission in Brachos about the bracha that's made on Zikin for shooting stars, on Zvois for earthquakes, on Brachim and for lightning. So Hashem sent shooting stars and lightning to help David get every enemy. Hadol Diksiv, this is the meaning of the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ki ata toyer neidi, you light up my candle. Hashem gave special flashlights for David, and the flashlights were shooting stars and lightning. Now, if David's request sounded extreme, we come to Asa, it sounds more extreme. Omad Asa, Asa got up, Asa was again a tzaddik, as we'll soon see many psukim, and Asa says, Ein bi koyach larig bem, I cannot kill them. The Tanakh tells a story in Divrei Hayomim, Beis Asa was having a war with Zerah Hakushi, an Ethiopian king, and Zerah Hakushi had 1 million soldiers. Asa says, even if you give us all the lighting, the shooting stars and the lightning, how can you kill 1 million soldiers? No chance. I don't know if this, I'm just guessing. I don't even have enough arrows to kill 1 million soldiers. I don't know if that's correct. But anyway, Asa says, you know what Hashem I can do? I need Oidefaisim. I will chase this Ethiopian army. And you finish it. You make them fall because I can't shoot them. Amar Loi, Hashem tells Asa, Ani Oisa, I will do it. Shenemar, as you have a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim Beis, Perek Yud Dalet, pasuk Yud Beis, Vayir Defeim Asa, and Asa chased them, his enemies, his Ethiopian enemies, Ki Nishberu, they were broken, Lifnei Hashem V'Lifnei Machaneu, before Hashem and before his camp. Vayisu Sholom Harbe Ma'id, and the Jewish people, the people of Yehuda, they got lots of spoil. It doesn't say Lifnei Asa, before Asa, but it says Lifnei Hashem V'Lifnei Machaneu. They fell before Hashem. Asa and his men were chasing this Ethiopian army, but the 1 million Ethiopian soldiers fell on their own one by one. Asa didn't kill that many of them. Still, dealing with kings who gave unusual requests, and again, they're getting more unusual. David just wanted lightning. Asa needs Hashem to actually make the enemies fall. Amad Yehoshaphat, Yehoshaphat, a great tzaddik, a son of Asa. Yehoshaphat gets up, but Amad already said, Ani ein bikoyach, I have no strength. David said he's going to kill them, he just needs some lighting. I have no strength, loy larig, I'm for me to kill my enemies. Yehoshaphat was attacked. There were three enemy armies, Amon, Moav, and Ammonim, who attacked Yehoshaphat at the same time. And he says, I have no strength to kill these people. I have no strength to chase these people. You know what I could do? I got an idea. Ani Omer Shira. I will sing a nigun. We will praise Hashem. We will sing. We'll have a fabrengen. We'll have divrei Torah. Vatoisa. Let's make a beautiful fabrengen. We'll have divrei Torah. We'll have a zoom shir. We'll have singing. Then al megutasah. But no, I can't fight a war. Amar leHakadosh Baruch Hu ani oisa. Hashem says good. Sounds like a plan. You have a fabrengen. You make sure there's divrei Torah. You make sure there's nigunim. You have a nice mesiva, and I'll fix the war. Shenemar, it says the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, ubeis heichem uberino tehila. As they began the singing and the praising, they were singing praising Hashem. All these three enemies killed each other, and they were totally killed each other, and the war was won without Jewish people shooting one arrow. The whole time the Yidden are in the Beis HaMikdash having a wonderful get-together with Torah and singing, and the three armies destroyed each other. A wonderful plan. And that's why, going back to the Pasuk in Eicha, so all the Malchei Eretz say, what chance do we have to win against the Jewish people if David gets this amazing lighting, Asa gets a million soldiers to fall, Yehoshaphat gets three armies to kill each other without him shooting one army, and now we come to Chizkiyahu's request, which is even more extreme. Amad Chizkiyahu v'amar, ani ein bikayach le'laharoi, I have no strength to kill my enemies. V'loin liradoi, if I don't have strength. Chizkiyahu had the war with Sanchedev, but Chizkiyahu became very sick 3 days before the downfall of Sanchedev on Pesach night, and Chizkiyahu was sick laying in bed. He says, I have no kayach to kill. I have no kayach liradoi. I can't chase. I can't even sing a song. I'm a sick man. I'm laying in my bed. You know what I'll do to Bani Shalom? I got a deal for you. Ela ani yoshin al mitasi. Listen, it's Pesach night. I am going to sleep. And Hashem, before I wake up in the morning, please fix it. I have this massive army, the biggest army in the world. Sanchedev Melech Ashur. He has 185,000 officers, millions of soldiers. I'm going to lay down in bed and by morning kindly fix this problem. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Ani Oise, no problem. We'll fix it for you. Shlof gezunta heit. You get a good night's sleep and by morning we'll fix it all. Shenemar, as it says, Vayehi b'layla ahu, and it wasn't that night. Vayetze malach Hashem, and malach Hashem went out. Vayach b'machane Asher, and struck the camp of Asher, and 185,000 officers of Sanchedev's army fled, and the rest of the army was chaos. And the war was won, no problem. What did Chizkiyahu did? He didn't chase. He didn't shoot. He didn't fabreng. He didn't have divrei Torah. He didn't sing negunim. The easiest way to fight a war, sleep in bed. Shlof gezunta heit, and the war is won. So now going back to the Pasuk in Eicha, that none of the kings and Yeshve Tevel, none of the inhabitants on earth believe when you have four kings like this, David, Asa, Yehoshaphat, Chizkiyahu, Tzadikim, making such requests of Hashem, what chance do we have? And that's why Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to fight. Now we have going, I want to go on Asa and Yehoshaphat. The Gemara Shabbos Nun Vavam and Beis, Kol Avodah Zarah Shabbat Eretz Yisrael, Asa V'Yehoshaphat Biyarum. Asa and Yehoshaphat destroyed every Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. Now concerning Asa, still from Divrei Hayomim, Beis, Perek Tesvav, Azar Yohu Ben Oided, who was the name of a Navi, he has the spirit of Hashem, and he stands before Asa, and he says, listen to me, Asa, and the holy Yehuda and Binyamin. Hashemi mochem b'yois chemimai. When you are with Hashem, Hashem is with you. And if you will, in Tidrashayu, if you will search for Hashem, he will be found. If you will forsake Hashem, he will leave you. Now you guys have been doing amazing, because also he was king for 41 years, and they were 41 years of a very strong connection to Torah. So Azaryahu ben Oded, the name of Hashem, says, V'yato chisku, and now be strong. Al yirpu yudeichem, don't get weakened. Ki yesh sachar lepul aschem. There is reward for what you guys are doing. You guys are doing amazing, and you're going to have a lot of success. When Asa heard all this, and now we have the nevuah of Oded Hanavi, got stronger. He got rid of all the Avodah Zarahs from Yehuda and Binyamin, from all the cities that he captured from Har Ephraim. He renewed the Mizbeach before the Ulam. He gathered Yehuda and Binyamin. Also, a very Pasuk test is a very important Pasuk. Every Pasuk is important. But I find this Pasuk specifically fascinating because many people always ask, so we have the 10 lost tribes. Are all the Jews that we have today everybody from Yehuda and Binyamin, or do we have people from the other tribes? So here it says in Pasuk Tes, Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Tes, Vayikbeit is called Yehuda and Binyamin, he gathered Yehuda and Binyamin, Vahagori Mehem, and then those amongst them, they were people from Ephraim and Menashe and from Shimon. How did these people, Asa is only the king over Yehuda and Binyamin? There's a northern kingdom with Baasha, who's their king. He naflu alav mi Yisrael Noroim. Big quantities of Jewish people. There were Jewish people from the northern kingdom, from other tribes, such as Ephraim, Menashe, and Shimon, who came to join Asa. Because they saw that the southern kingdom of Yehuda, where Asa was the king, mitzvahs are being done. It's a from place. The northern kingdom is full of idolatry. So many Jews joined Asa, Berois, and they saw Ki Hashem Eli Kavimai. They see Hashem is with Asa. Everything is successful. Everything is based on Yiddishkeit. And in Perek Chav Pasuk Lamed Beis, says that he goes in the ways. This is about Yehoshaphat, that he went in the ways of his father Asa. He didn't move away. Always did good in the eyes of Hashem. So we see from this that Asa and then Yehoshaphat, we're seeing more and more that they're both tzaddikim. Now on Yehoshaphat, we have a lot more. We have Divrei Hayomim. It should say it's their Beis. It should be Aleph. Divrei Hayomim, it should be Beis. Divrei Hayomim Beis. Perek Yud Zayin, sorry about that. Divrei Hayomim Beis, Perek Yud Zayin. It says over there, Vayehi Hashem es Yehoshaphat. Hashem was with Yehoshaphat because he went in the ways, in David's early ways, and he didn't connect to any Avodah Zarah. He went to the God of his father. He did the mitzvahs. He never did what Yisrael did. And therefore, Hashem made Yehoshaphat's kingdom very successful. And the people were giving great gifts to Yehoshaphat. And King Yehoshaphat had Oysher v'Kavod L'Elohim. A lot of wealth. People brought him a lot of money. People gave him a lot of honor. Vayigban libay b'darkei Hashem. Yehoshaphat was a very strong person, very firm in the ways of Hashem. He removed all the bamos, the mitzvah for Avodah Zarah, the ashenim, anything to do with Avodah Zarah was removed. Then we have in the third year of Yehoshaphat being king, he calls a whole lot of people. We have their names, Benchayim, Levadiah, Zachariah, Nisanel, Michoyu, Lamed, Ba'ore Yehuda. He has a shlichus thing that we're sending people to all the cities of Yehuda to make sure to teach the people Torah. And then we have a whole group of Leviim, Shmayo, Nisanyo, Zvadyo, Asoyo, Shmiramay, Siyahina, San Adelio, Tayyivyo. And we have a whole group and of people who are going in Yehuda, and they're going with Sefer Torahs. And they're circling all the Ari Yehuda, all the cities of Yehuda, and there's a massive plan of teaching people Torah. So in the days of Yehoshaphat, you know, the Rebbe told me before coming to Australia, I am in Australia, the Rechlimun HaTorah, to transform Australia through studying Torah, Baruch Hashem. Now on a Zoom share, we could study a bit of Torah. And the Yehoshaphat was very into making sure that Jews were learning Torah. Travel to all the cities of Yehuda and teachers teaching Torah. Because they learned so much Torah and Pasuk Yud, there became fear of Hashem on all the lands around Yehuda. Nobody fought with Yehoshaphat. Everybody was frightened of Yehoshaphat. The Plishtim were bringing Yehoshaphat gifts with silver, carrying silver. Please take our silver. The Arvim, the Arabs, were bringing him Soin Elim. Yehoshaphat, he spread Torah. The Arabs, no problem. The Arabs were begging him, please give us gifts, take our gifts. And they gave 7,700 tzayin elim, rams, and tioshim, male goats. They gave 7,700. They were getting a lot of gifts. In Pasuk Yud Beis, it says, Vayehi Yoshafat Hoylech Begadon Ad Lebayon. Yoshafat was getting greater and greater, wealthier, more powerful, more respected. Vayiven BeYehuda Bud Oniyos. He built palaces and Oni Miskinai storage cities. And Rashi says storage for Tfuah, grain, Yayin, wine, Dagon, is also some sort of grain. Pasuk Yud Gimel, he has a lot of Melacha in Oni Yehuda. There's a lot of Anshei Melacha, a lot of warriors, Gibeini Chayil. Anyway, skipping now to Perek Yutes, where Yehoshaphat had joined his friends from Yisrael, from the northern kingdom, in a war, which this Hashem was not so happy with, as we did previously, when we went through the Rashi in Melach, in the Vayomim Beis, Perek of Zion, the Rashi about Yosef, where Rashi brings that Yosef was the only king that was perfect. Over there, he mentions that Yehoshaphat's sin was that he joined up with Rishoyim. Yehoshaphat personally was a tzaddik, totally dedicated to Torah and mitzvahs, but he joined up both militarily and in business with his cousins Achav, Achazia ben Achav, Yehoram ben Achav. It says Yehoshaphat comes back home from one of his wars with helping Yehoram to Yerushalayim. And the Navi, Vayetze al ponav Yehu ben Chanoni Achayza. The Navi, Yehu ben Chanoni, comes to meet him and he says, what's going on? Where were you? You're dealing with Rishoyim. You're helping wicked people in business and wars. Vayyamin al Melech Yehoshaphat. He tells the king Yehoshaphat, Halo Rosh Otazon? Are you helping a wicked man in a war? Ulesayne Hashem Teh? Do you love, are you best friends with Hashem's enemies? These people are dafkiniks spreading avodah zarah, and you're doing business and military, joining with them. You should know Hashem is angry at you. Why is Hashem angry at Yehoshaphat? He spreads Torah. He encourages mitzvahs. He dedicates himself to help Jewish people. But his one crime is he's done business with anti-religious, and he has also joined wars to help anti-religious. And you are loving the enemies of Hashem, and for this you have anger from Hashem. However, the Navi still, Yehu ben Chanoni Hachayza, is telling Yehoshaphat, you got good things. You got a lot of good stuff you've done. You got rid of all the avodah zarah. You prepared your heart to serve Hashem. So we now learn that Yehoshaphat stayed in Yerushalayim, and he traveled from Beersheba to Ephraim, and by Yeshivim, he got everybody. Yehoshaphat was on a big campaign to get people to do teshuva and reconnect Hashem. Vayamed shayftim baretz. Another thing Yehoshaphat was very into, judgment, to make sure there is shayftim, there are judges to see that all disputes, financial disputes or any other kind of dispute, is settled on Pitoida. In all the Ani Yehuda Habitzuris, all fortified cities, city by city, he tried to make sure there are shayftim, there are judges in every city. And he tells the shayftim, see what you're doing, be very careful. You're not judging a human being. Hashem, every time you're judging a Jew, you're judging Hashem. Hashem is with you in the judgment. There's an amazing Rashi on this. You're not judging a human being. Pisroi, Rashi says, the meaning of the words, don't think this is Yehoshaphat's instruction to his judges. You got to be very careful when you're judging Jewish people. Don't think, what's the big deal if we mess the judgment a bit? We want to make our good buddies, our friends win. We may bend the judgment against poor people, for poor people. We may favor rich people who are going to help us. It's not Hashem. You should know, no. You're not judging a human being. You think you're judging some anonymous human being? No, you're judging Hashem. It's Hashem's money. If there was someone who was really supposed to be meritorious and you judged him as guilty, It's like you've robbed Hashem. You judged wrong. You are robbing Hashem. You messed up Din Shamayim. You gave a mishpat mu'ukal. You gave a crooked judgment. It's a terrible crime to judge crookedly. And therefore, Yehoshaphat tells his judges, Kiru mashatasu. You got to see. Be careful. Look what you're doing. Vayelevavchem b'chol din v'din. Put your heart into every judgment. Every halachic court case is very serious. Kiru HaKadosh Baruch Hu oimed l'nafshechem b'din. Hashem is in your soul. In this, l'fneichem. Before you in the din. And that is the meaning of imachem b'dvar ha-mishpat. And he goes on in Gemara Sanhedrin, it says, what are you doing? What do you think? You're judging human beings? You're judging Yidden, you're judging Hashem. So a person's going to say, if judging Yidden is so serious, so why do I need to be a judge? I resign. I'll become a teacher in yeshiva instead. Why should I bother being a judge? It's a terrible crime. Anything I do wrong, is I'm attacking Hashem. V'shema yoyman hadayin, so the judge may say, Mat liyo litzar hazeh, why do I need to get involved? So we have a pasuk that says, imachem b'dvar ha-mishpat, meaning it is upon you to do it, and the dayon must only do, you do the best you can, you do mashein avroyos, you judge to the best of your ability, and Hashem will support you. And now he goes on, have pachar Hashem on you, guard, because with Hashem, there's no avla, there's no favoritism, there's no bribes. And in Yerushalayim, Yehoshaphat made from the Kainim and from the Levim, he set up judges, and they returned to Yerushalayim. And Yehoshaphat tells his judges, Kaitasun b'yiras Hashem. You have to make sure before you judge that you fear Hashem. You have to judge with emunah, trusting in Hashem, it will help you. U'belev of shalim. Put your whole heart into judgment. Anytime there's an argument, if you're a judge, you're going to deal with people with arguments. There's your brothers in their cities. There's an argument about blood. Doesn't matter what area of halacha. You got to warn. It's not just financial. It can be all sorts of halacha. You got to make sure you're giving over halacha correctly. Don't be guilty to Hashem. If you give people the wrong halacha, you're doing a terrible thing. If you give a wrong halacha, you're bringing anger of Hashem on you and your brother. Judge Paskin halacha correctly. You won't be guilty. And then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Amar Yohu the Kayin Harish, and Zvad Yohu the Nogid, and the Shaitrim and the Levim, they're all from be there to help you. Be strong, and Hashem should be with you. And Rashi brings, Hashem is with you if you do the right thing. Then we go on to read about Yehoshaphat Perekhov, where these three nations come, and Amayav and Amayin, and the Amayinim come to war, and they tell Yehoshaphat, there's a man, which we spoke about before, a massive army came from Aram, and they're in a place called Chatzitz in Tomer, and Yehoshaphat goes to Davin to Hashem, and he calls a fasting, and he begs all the people to beg Hashem from all the cities of Yehuda, they came to Davin. In Pasuk Hey, it says, "Vayamid Yehoshaphat b'kahal Yehuda v'Yerushalayim." Yehoshaphat standing. There's a big get together of Jews from Yehuda Yerushalayim in front of the Chotzer Chadosh. Radak brings that maybe they did renovations, and he brings a Gemara in Pesachim that there was an issue in Halacha, so they decided we have to make Zedus, we have to be more frum, and they made a Zeda. That's full yom al yikonis b'machane levia. Somebody who had been tummy and he went to the mikveh, but he didn't yet have head of shemesh. He hasn't gotten to sunset and three stars out. Is not allowed in the machane levia. So the idea is vasus yog v'toyda, make something stricter in toyda. And then we have Yehoshaphat davening to Hashem. I got this war, and he says, Hashem, you are a God in heaven. You control the whole world. Nobody can stand against you. You gave us Eretz Yisrael as an inheritance. And you told us that if we have any problem, we should come to this Beis HaMikdash and daven to Hashem. That's what we were told. come to the Beis HaMikdash and daven. And now we got a problem. We have Amid and Mayim and our Seir, all these people, which you don't even allow. We're not even supposed to have wars. We didn't have wars on them. So when we came into Eretz Yisrael, we avoided wars with Amid, Mayim, and our Seir. We never destroyed these nations. We would destroy all the other nations, but these nations, we weren't allowed to fight them, and they should have remembered our kindness. But instead, they're coming and giving us trouble and attacking us, and they're trying to chase us out of our inheritance. So Hashem, please judge them. I have no strength to deal with this massive army attacking us. And now he has a very famous pasuk, which we say whenever we say Tachnun. Yehoshaphat is faced with this battle. He says, V'anachnu l'neida manaseh. We don't know what to do. Hashem, we're in big trouble. Only you can help. Ki alecha einenu. Our eyes are to you. And all the Yidden are standing there in the Beis HaMikdash with their children, with their wives. And suddenly there's a Navi called Yechaziel ben Zechariah, who is Bnei Yosef. And he has a Ruach Hashem b'Seich HaKol, where there's actually a Gemara that says that he gave it over his prophecy with great humility, which is why it was so accepted. And there's an amazing Gemara, an amazing Maimer, that it's important that if somebody's in a position of leadership, that they should always lead people with humility. If a leader is arrogant in any way, it's very unlikely people will listen to him. You have to be humble, which he's learned this from Yechaziel ben Zechariah, who spoke to Yehoshaphat, and he says, listen, all the people of Yehuda and all the people of Yerushalayim, and listen, King Yehoshaphat. Hashem says, don't be afraid of this massive amount of people. You don't have to fight. Hashem is going to fight. This goes, Rashi says, this goes on, you don't know what to do. Don't worry. Hashem will fight the war. Go tomorrow and you will see them at this Nachal. You don't have to fight here. Just stand there and see Hashem save you. Go out tomorrow and you'll see Hashem is with you. It was when Yehoshaphat heard these words from this Yechaziel, he says, oh, Hashem says, just stand there and see what's going to happen. Wonderful. We're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash and do Nigunim and Torah. Rashi says, Hisyatzvu, Lo'elochem HaMuhammad, you don't have to fight. Just learn, daven, sing. The next Rashi, Ruas Yeshuas Hashem. Hashem says, you're right. I have to look after you. Hadini Mochem. I have to make sure you have Eretz Yisrael. And the next, Mochar Tzur, Rashi says, Hashem is, I'm going to fight for you. And when the Yidden heard this from the Navi, Hashem is going to fight, they believed him, and they got up early in the morning to learn, to daven, to sing, to be in the Beis HaMikdash, and to watch how Hashem is going to fight. And Yehoshaphat bows down, and the Levium from Kahos and from Kairah go to thank Hashem, and they got up in the morning. And Yehoshaphat gives the Yidden a very inspirational speech where he says, Haminu b'Hashem l'keichem. There's one thing you guys got to do. Believe in Hashem. V'teyomnu have emuna. Rashi says, Tiyu b'nei emuna v'tatzlichu. Have faith in Hashem, you'll be successful. Haminu b'neviyav. Believe in the Neviyim. V'atzlichu, you'll have success. And then Yehoshaphat had a discussion, and they set up Mishaylim to sing, and they were saying, and as they started the Rino Tehillah, they started the singing and the praising and the Divrei Torah, they put ambushes to see what was happening, and the people of Amid, Mayav, and Yeshvei Seir came to destroy them, and instead they destroyed each other. Rashi says that the Bnei Amid and Mayav attacked the people of our Seir, and they attached each other, and Hashem made that they destroyed each other till there was none left. These three nations totally destroyed each other. And now the people of Yehuda came to Mitzpah, they came to the Midbar, and they see that everybody, all three armies, every last person is dead. They killed each other out, and they didn't leave any survivors. But they had lots of money and lots of treasures. So Yehoshaphat and his nation came to take their treasures, to take the money, and there was so much money. They had so much to carry. It was so heavy. The treasures were very heavy. They spent 3 days collecting the spoils because there was such a tremendous amount of spoils. And on the fourth day, they gathered together in a place called Emek Bracha. They thanked Hashem, and that's why it's called Emek Bracha to this day. And Yehoshaphat returned to Yerushalayim with great celebration, and it was quiet for a number of years. And then we learn how Yehoshaphat went to the ways of Asa, and he never. Okay. And now we learn, and Yehoshaphat, as soon as he was strong in the government, he wasn't involved with the kingdom, he wasn't involved with his money. Yehoshaphat's big thing was din. As it says, Yehoshaphat was king, and he was strong on Yehuda. What's by his chazik? Minas hadayonim. He appointed judges. He was very strong, Medarkei Hashem, very strong in removing Avodah Zarah. He was very, had gasas ruach. But gasas ruach here is he was very firm in pointing dayonim who knew the ways of Hashem and to keep judgment. And he would tell the dayonim, see, the mishpat is for Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was not even commanded for the judgment, he was only told by Yisrael, and still he put together Sanhedrin. We have commands about dayonim. We have to be very careful. We also learn about Yehoshaphat, the Gemara in Ksubas Vesirei Hashem Yechabe. It refers to Yehoshaphat when he would see a Talmud Chacham, he would get up from his throne and he would hug him and kiss him and call out, Rebbe, Rebbe, money, money, my master, my teacher. So this is concerning Yehoshaphat. Next week we'll continue with the other kings, starting with Chizkiyahu, Yeshayahu, and then there's a few that are on question mark, which we'll still get to. Anybody, I went a bit over time. If anybody has any questions, please don't hesitate. We're going to stop the shiur now. Any questions, please ask.